This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Jim Lee has always been engaged with mystery and hidden stories. His background in radio and broadcast journalism give him a knack for storytelling in places that many of us don't see, and that's apparent in his sound and visual art as well. His latest exhibit, Spectives, is a comprehensive look at his work ranging from cicada shells in his own backyard to photographs of water sources in Ghana. Jim Lee is an artist. He's a native of Durham, and his exhibit, Spectives, is currently on display at the Carrick Modern in Durham. Jim Lee, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Frank. Good to be here.
So what's the intention behind this latest exhibit of yours?
Oh, the intention. It has a wide range of intentions. First of all, it gives me personally a chance to just review the kinds of things that I'm interested in and share those with others. There's always this intent to provoke, entertain, to render some things that are not so obvious more obvious. Challenge.
One of the things you're interested in, forgive me for interrupting, is railroads. You used to walk the tracks here in Durham. Huh?
Oh yeah, that was I was an only child, and part of my entertainment was walking up and down railroad tracks, just looking for whatever I could discover, and that's a big part of my history.
How did you turn that into art?
Well, that's the kind of question that most artists don't really know how to answer. How do these things happen? But you let these experiences embed themselves, and at some point they become something that you feel like you want to share. In the case of railroad tracks, I can remember a buddy of mine and I walking down the tracks and discovering a gang of Gandhi dancers, people who are responsible for aligning the tracks. And they were using these rhythmic chants to synchronize their work. And we sat there mesmerized for the longest time. And those guys show up now in my art as I walk around old abandoned railroad tracks now. I see traces of them. I see hammer blows on railroad spikes, and I see crooked bolts and, places where I know somebody used a tool.
Well, describe one of your pieces for us and give us a sense of how this would show up in your art.
Okay. I have one piece which is just a close-up of a segment of a railroad track that's now buried in its own ballast and sand. It's been unused, and the only thing sticking up is the spikes. And on those spikes, if you look closely, you can see hammer blows where somebody drove those things in. And my intent is to put the photograph out there, and because I wonder, I hope somebody else wonders, who struck those blows, and where are they, and what happened to them, and under what conditions were they working?
There's a wonderful tension in your work, and I know that's a big theme in your work as well, between what you know subjectively, you, as you said, you can tell what tool was used to strike that blow.
Yeah.
And, of course, I can't. And now you're going to make a piece of art, you're going to show it to me, and knowing that I can't know that, and yet somehow you're going to communicate some part of that to me.
Well, tension is something that I find people wind up feeling whether they expect to feel it or not, and whether they know where it's coming from. I have one piece which is a glass sculpture, and it's a sculpture of an eye made of glass, and all the edges are very sharp, but it has holes in it which invite you to look in. And so, people approach it with great caution because you're careful about your eyes. You don't want sharp glass near your eyes, but here's this eye inviting you to look. And so there's a draw and a repulsion all in one piece. And that's one kind of tension.
Cicadas also play heavily in your work.
Yeah. I love cicadas. As a kid, I didn't know what they were. They were just things that were calling out in the evening. And my dad told me they were grandpa cricket. And I, in my little little mind, I imagined these huge creatures out in the dark. And eventually I came to know what they were and discovered some of their secrets. And so now I photograph them when I can find them, and I'm fascinated by the shells that they leave behind when they shed.
Yeah, it's an amazing sight. Although the saddest thing about it, I will say, this is a personal story. When I hear cicadas, I get a little sad because I know that's the peak of summer. And from here on out, the days are going to get a little darker. And
We have that in common. I do not like winter, and cicadas are harbingers of the end of my best times seasonally.
You, in many ways, while your work ranges, you've been in Ghana as well, and we're going to talk about that in a second. The rendering of community so is also an important part of your work, isn't it? And the storytelling, the story of a community like Durham.
Well, I think the stories are maybe not so particular to Durham. It's where I happen to be, and so the tracks that I know best are in Durham. And the animals that I find are in Durham, and some of the mischief that I make with my art is based in Durham. So, for example, this Rock Nest Monster installation is based on a creature that I discovered living on the Eno River in Durham County.
Well, maybe you should describe the Rock Nest Monster for us.
The Rock Nest Monster. Well, it's a mysterious creature that nobody has ever seen, except for evidence of its eggs, which are large porcelain-like spheres that show up in rock piles in this particular location in Durham County. Is this the point at which I tell people I'm pulling their leg, or do we keep being serious?
No, I see your tongue in your cheek, but we're gonna. What I want to know is, was this a story that was passed down to you? Is this one of those?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, it's totally made up. It is an ongoing artistic exercise. It started with finding these spheres in the dollar store, to be very honest with you, and deciding that they should live someplace else beside somebody's mantle. And so they wound up living in piles of rocks on a piece of land I own on the Eno River.
But again, it sort of gets back to this, with the story that you give it. So you come at this with a story, and you give it a life. And yet you know that other people are going to come by and superimpose their own stories in the same way that you saw the cicada as some giant monster out there in the dark.
Well, that's true, and I expect that, and especially with the Rock Nest Monster, which is as a museum exhibit now in the gallery. It's the National Cryptozoologic Museum. I expect people to bring their own stories to it, and some people take it more seriously than others. Some people buy into it more than others. There's a website dedicated to it now, and I get inquiries from school kids all over the country wanting more information about the Rock Nest Monster.
How much did your study of zoology in school, does that inform your work?
Science, technology, nature informs everything I do. Some of the stories I'm able to tell because I know some of the science behind the images that I'm presenting. Other stories I'm able to tell because I either invent or already know the technology required to execute what I want to do. So, these are very important parts of what I'm doing.
You work in a lot of media. Do you have one that's a favorite, or do you find yourself just moving to finding yourself in that moment?
You're playing with my indiscipline now.
That's it.
Yeah, I do move in a lot of media, and I don't have a favorite. Right now, I'm doing mostly photography, but that may change when I walk out the door here today.
You have some of your photographs hanging right here at American Tobacco.
I have photographs right next door in Bay 5 on the stairwell, and I have some sort of three-dimensional pieces called Echoes over on the other side. And at one point, I had a large piece in the main office, all of which were part of the American Tobacco collection.
So some of your work is very much rooted here, and yet you went to Ghana as well. And tell us about that project, the Water Project.
Well, I went there as a documentary photographer for All Africa. We were looking at lots of development issues in both Ghana and Kenya, which is all the way across the continent. But in Ghana, we went to northern Ghana and went to one of the very few places on Earth where guinea worm disease is still prevalent. And it was a drought-stricken area, and I photographed people gathering water, which was contaminated with this guinea worm parasite. And so some of the images in the show are from that experience.
Jim, what a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Jim Lee is giving an artist talk at the Carrick Modern Tuesday, December 4th, 7 o'clock. His exhibit, Spectives, is on display now until December 6th. For more information, you can visit thecarrick.org. You spell Carrick, C-A-R-R-A-C-K, and it's in Durham. Just ahead, well, we'll talk more about clean water around the world and here in the United States. Is clean water a human right? Talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.